Welcome to Season 6 of the Excel Still More podcast. I am your host, Chris Emerson, and I am here to encourage you in your walk with the Lord, and I'm glad you've joined. Our program continues to be sponsored by Cunningham Financial Group. John is a good friend, and he's helped me and my family in everything from stock and mutual fund investing to annuities, life insurance, and retirement planning. I certainly commend him to you. If you have needs in any of those areas, you can reach him at 205-326-7364. Thank you again for your ongoing encouragement and support. Let's get started. Hey, welcome back. Thanks for listening in today. I'm pretty excited about a journey that I hope you and I can go on together that will take two episodes to cover. I will set up everything to start out today, and we will go through half of a particular list. Next week, we'll pick it back up and finish it out. This list comes from the mind and experiences of a friend of mine. His name is Wilson Adams. He is a gospel preacher, just a really great guy. But he's also traveled the country for decades at this point, preaching and teaching and working with Christians of all different age levels. He frequently documents those trips and lessons learned through social media, and recently he put out a series of posts documenting 12 thinking shifts among millennials and Gen Z Christians. I think this list is interesting and engaging. You may find some of it challenging. Some you will embrace openly and say, that's exactly how I feel about it. And sometimes it won't make much sense to you at all. But if this list is accurately representing the changing thought of two generations of young people back to back who will soon replace all of the older folks already in the churches, then we need to be listening and learning and engaging. So what I plan to do here is very simple. We will lay these out three at a time. I will share with you the first three thinking shifts, and we will talk about them for maybe 10 minutes or so. And then in the back half of the episode, we will cover three more. And then we'll just basically repeat that process with the rest of the list next week. And you can find those lists in the show notes. In fact, I will put the entirety of Wilson's posts in the show notes. And while I will read most of that in these two episodes, you can go and dig in deeper there. Okay, before we get started, there are some absolutely mandatory things we need to cover. First of all, in case you haven't Googled this in a while, I want to clarify what age range we're talking about. He's representing shifts in thinking among millennials and Gen Z. Millennials are technically people born between 1981 and 1996. So generally speaking, it's young people between the ages of, say, 25 and 45. Generation Z is just beneath that, those born in 1997 up through 2012. So that's basically young people under the age of 25. So in my case, I'm 45, so I'm just outside of the millennial range, but I feel close enough that I have a lot of friends in that range. And at the same time, nearly all of my kids fit into that Gen Z range. Right now, I have a 20-year-old and a 23-year-old who are independent thinkers, evaluating what is of primary importance among God's people. So this list was very timely for us. So here's the thing though, regardless of that, wherever you are, you may be way past it. You may be a boomer or the parent of a boomer. I just want you to listen to these things. You will still probably identify with some of them, but even if you don't, it doesn't change that this is the way young Christians think. These are the reasons they have, the questions that they do, and we need to engage in even better conversation. Okay, two more quick things to cover. The title is 12 Thinking Shifts Among Millennial Gen Z Christians. That simple term, thinking shifts, is a scary one among a lot of God's people. They think in terms of the world shifting away from God or shifting away from the truth. And if that's what this list was about, it would just be me complaining for 2 weeks about the worldliness among the youth, and we would lament how bad it's gotten. That is not this list. The last word in his title is Christians. We're talking about people like my son and daughter, people like my two younger brothers who fit right in this range, or a great many other followers of Christ who are just thinking a little differently than their parents and grandparents did. Different doesn't equal bad. Shifting doesn't equal evil. In fact, it could be very productive if we're willing to talk it through and, of course, as always, take everything to God in prayer and back to the Scripture. Lastly, this is not an indictment of generations past. If you read that into my tone or into Wilson's words, then you have misread the situation. If our young people are asking questions and shifting the way that they think, defense mechanisms say they're attacking the faith of their fathers and grandfathers and so forth. They're saying that they must be wrong and we need to fix what is broken. You know what? Sometimes that is the case, but not always. Sometimes it is about pendulums moving around some, but other times it's just about our culture or what's happening around us in the world that's leading us to study certain things and put emphasis on certain things that may be different from a generation or two ago. So anyway, I'm going to jump in, but I hope I've been clear about all of that, because some of this you will love, but don't love it too much. Don't jump in and go, that's what I've been thinking my whole life, and I'm going to tell everybody. And if you really loathe some of these points, don't loathe it too much. Don't immediately react with negativity and anger. Mainly just listen, so that whether you're in this age range or not, whether you follow this line of thought or you don't, God's people can remember, past episode title, that communication is key, and that oftentimes most, if not all, people involved here love Jesus and want to do what's right. Okay, so Wilson opens up by saying this: cultural thinking changes aren't just coming, they're here. In some ways, pruning thinking is biblically healthy. It's okay to ask about differences between God authority and man tradition, the thing Jesus confronted, with significant numbers seeking to reignite their faith into greater pursuits of evangelism. Their observations should force us to re-examine our own commitment. And then he says, clarity. Each may not fit all situations, but represent general shifts. The first three shifts on the list are these: shallow to deep, public to private, and going through the motions religion to relationship. So let's start by reading this first paragraph and I'll share a few thoughts. Number one, a shift from shallow to deep. There's a move toward more meaningful relationships and fellowship than shallow and surface level. Sadly, sometimes we fail to know the names of those with whom we worship, much less the areas needing prayer or time and sacrifices to meet their needs. Hi, how are you? Fine, can be the extent of connection. Younger generations have a deeper stirring. The same applies to a shift from shallow teaching to more depth. Millennials ask two questions. So, and so what? So is looking for more information, digging deeper into understanding, and so what is the application of that information? They want both. Okay, so how does that first one hit you, shallow to deep? Made in two ways. First of all, real depth in relationships. Not just go to church, shake a few hands, maybe pray for someone during the week, and repeat over and over again. They want and value deep connections and relationships. They want to know people's names, but more than that, they want to be able to share some things about themselves and their lives and to know things about others. Now, just on that social side, I want to toss in a couple of observations of my own. This doesn't mean they don't want to attend a church with a lot of people. It doesn't mean you have to go small in terms of assembly. But it does mean that larger assemblies are presented with even more of a challenge. The idea of feeling unvaluable or getting lost in the crowd is a real issue. But if we're being super honest about this, it doesn't matter the size of the church. There could be 30 people at that assembly, and it could still feel like we just kind of go through the motions and make church a small part of our lives. In the New Testament, Christians were connected. They met in the temple courtyard for worship, and then they spent their week house to house and also out in the world shining and spreading the gospel. So what I'm saying is, I don't think we need a bunch of small house churches where people can really know each other. On the contrary, I kind of feel like if your congregation has a lot of people of varied ages, it just means that there are an incredible number of opportunities to make meaningful connections. I also can tell you that younger people are not saying we just want to spend more time with people our age and really deepen that. I can speak for my two older kids, Luke, age 20, and Hannah, 23. Some of their best, strongest relationships at our church are with people a generation or more older than them. Intergenerational depth, not just handshake, how you doing? Real in-house time, devotion, and development efforts intergenerationally are amazingly valuable. Now, regardless of your age, you may be like, yeah, I want that, and I see the value in that, and I think we've always wanted that. But what's being noted here among young Christians, faithful believers, age 15 to 45, is that they are craving it and demanding it. And I believe they have a right to do that. He noted that shallow to deep also had to do with Bible teaching, and particularly not just about learning facts, but learning the real application of those facts. By deep, it's not a really, really hard Bible study, but a Bible study that in terms of application reaches deep into their heart and into their lives. So if you're in that age range and you are craving that kind of depth, relationship, and study, then you are not alone. And if you're a Christian over the age of 45 trying to connect to these younger generations, I hope these things they're yearning for as a whole are incredibly encouraging to you and give you some fresh ideas. Okay, so the second one on the list is a lot like it, a shift from public to private. A church building can be incredibly public with hundreds gathering, yet offer a lack of intimacy and depth of relationships. Millennials and Gen Z are not less spiritual, but can be more so because they seek involvement on a serving and private level. They seek connection beyond public assemblies and want to serve and be used. Basically, what they're saying is just going to church isn't enough. I think they have opened eyes, unbiased views of what it looks like when people go to church and really check that box, but their lives lack prayer, lack regular study, lack real Christian interaction. Our younger people have seen firsthand in real time what technology and other things developed in this world have done to relationships. Some of that, unfortunately, they've seen in their own parents, and they don't want it. And like I said before, I don't think this means they want to flee public worship spaces or leave churches if it has over 100 people and just meet in a dorm room. But it's more like one will not survive without the other. Public Sunday worship can be wonderful, but it isn't enough. If you're in that younger generation and you're thinking we need to have studies during the week, we need to get together outside of church services and be active in some service-filled way, you are absolutely on the right track. And if that's a shift in your thinking, it's a good one. And if you're older than that and you're wondering why it doesn't seem like that generation is plugged in at worship like you'd like them to be, just understand that if that is all of the activity among God's people that they're getting, it's just not enough. And I think it's possible they can get confused and maybe even afraid about how that's making them feel about church and worship and living a faithful life. This brings us naturally to the third in the list, a shift from going through the motions religion to relationship. Younger generations are not interested in box checking. They don't want to show up just to show up. They crave connection, vertical with God and horizontal with people, often lacking in the Zoom room culture. I see generations caring deeply about helping hurting people and wanting a faith that makes a difference. I really love this point. I talk a lot about box checking. It's not wrong, of course, to do a great thing, but it can't be just for its own sake. It has to be a part of our worshipfulness, our love for others and for God, and it has to be accompanied with a wonderful set of ing things like honoring God and growing in that, and also learning, engaging, and making a difference. And I'm just really hopeful that those who are in that millennial Gen Z range can articulate this to the older generation properly. We're not saying what we do isn't good enough. We're just saying it's not enough. We want to keep doing what we all believe is right, but we need to make sure that it really lives in our lives. Maybe you hear something like, they crave connection vertical with God and horizontal with people, and you immediately start thinking about ways that young so-called Christians engage in that you don't think are biblical. But I'll tell you this, if you think the only biblical way does not deepen and work on greater vertical connection with God or horizontal service-filled real-life connections with people, then you may actually be part of what's pushing them away. So I don't know about you, but as for me, as someone just outside of the age ranges defined, I'm ready to do some more listening. Because they're not the only ones who want to get away from box checking and into true relationships, and their craving for that shift may be exactly how God is at work in my life. All right, so in Wilson's second post, he just opens with this, "There arose a generation who did not know the Lord. Historically and contextually, one generation forgot to teach, and the next forgot to learn." He said, that is not what this is. It's not what I'm talking about. Millennials and Gen Z want to know the Lord. In fact, they want to know the Lord more than just knowing about the Lord. There's a big difference there. He adds that the purpose here is to be open to having the conversation. And then comes numbers 4, 5, and 6, a shift from planning to praying, a shift from gathering to scattering, and a shift from preacher trading to preacher training in-house. These are really rich, and I've paired them with the first set because they serve as great applications of what we're trying to develop. Under number 4, a shift from planning to praying, he writes, "They've noticed that the more we plan, the less we pray. That's backwards. We need to pray more and plan less." He adds, yes, some vision planning is good. We need to plan, but leave room for God to lead the way. As numbers shrink, that's just a reality, millennials and Gen Z are reminding us to shift from less reliance on self to more reliance on Him. Now, a lot of us are planners, so we may not love this point so much, but it sure is a good one. We try to organize things and structure things and plan things to make it good for our young people and to help people grow in faith, and all of that has a place. But engaging together in really connecting to God is more valuable than all of that. He mentions prayer, but this makes me think about singings. Have you ever been around a bunch of teenagers or 20-somethings when they were singing gospel songs? It is powerful and emotional and really just incredible. For the most part, that doesn't feel procedural or box-checky or just something that the church is supposed to do. It feels like worship, like connection to God right beside fellow servants. His observation here is that young people are yearning for that in terms of prayer, and I would add just simple Bible study. Even up to and beyond people my age, I meet Christians a lot along the way who have not just sat with a group of men and prayed for an hour, or just sat down and talked about how God's word was changing your life. We've started having meetings like that with men my age who worship here, and honestly, it's just felt like something that has been missing. I think, again, if we can engage this intergenerationally, if those who are older can see that not only do young people need more prayer and study, but they want it, then maybe those who are older, who have more means or nicer, larger homes, can open them up and accommodate that. Number 5, a shift from gathering to scattering. We tend to place a majority emphasis on church-building gatherings. And, of course, gatherings are important and God-commanded. But we also see examples of New Testament scatterings. For one thing, Christianity exploded in century 1 because persecution led to scattering, Acts chapter 8. Persecution necessitates a sifting, and sifting leads to a shifting in thinking back to go into all the world. Listen, this is not an indictment of a lack of evangelism in the past generation. But to say that some local gatherings of believers need a shift of thinking back to the Great Commission and the way that the church grew, I think there's room to say that. It's not going to cost us our younger people if we say we need to get out of this church building and go be Christians and go spread Jesus and go show the character of the Spirit. They're not going to say, no, we don't want to do that. We'll see you next Sunday. They want that. And the truth of the matter is, we all need that. So as we wrap this up, the 6th one is quite specific, but I think true and meaningful. A shift from preacher trading to preacher training. There's a mindset similar to sports. Large churches seek up-and-coming preachers groomed by smaller churches until they're ready to move up to the bigger churches, even though they may have no prior relationship with them. Look for more in-house development of those known by the congregation, similar to the Antioch example of Acts 13. Maybe some millennials or Gen Zers would step up if given a chance. I'm glad we're out of time because I could talk for 10 minutes about this. I believe that that's where things are heading, that local preachers will be less about fully supported guys who move around the country and more about developing local talent, supporting students and learners and presenters right there among your own family, and nurturing all of the connections therein by men who stand a good chance of staying there and working throughout their entire lives. But do you see the common thread here, and are you excited about it? The idea is these generations are saying, we want to actually pray and study more. We want to influence the community and share the gospel more. We want to grow right here and find our best workers among one another. That is amazing news. And yes, it may demand a shift in thinking for some, but it sounds to me like a really, really good one. So let me finish by going through these one more time. A shift from shallow to deep. Deeper study, deeper relationships. A shift from public to private. Worship is great. We need to meet outside of worship, smaller groups, more intimate settings. Number three, going through the motions, religion to relationships. They're not interested in checking the box or doing what's always been done. They want it to mean something. Number four, by less planning and more praying. Number five, by featuring the scattering of the word, not just the gathering of believers. And number six, by developing preachers and teachers and workers right here among us. There are gifted servants of all generations all across this country that, if nurtured and cultivated, can make them incredibly useful. And when you add to that this drive that they have, not to just be consumers, but producers, I feel like there's a ton of good work we can do together. I don't know about you, but I like what I'm hearing and seeing among Christians ages, say, 15 to 45. Some of them are definitely pushing for change, and they need to be careful and respectful in how they do that so that we can all move together. But that may start with each of us and all of us, regardless of our age, humbly and openly exploring generational shifts. Thank you so much for listening in today. If you enjoyed this program, will you share it with someone you care about? One thing I've learned over the years is the best way for the program to grow is for friends to tell people how valuable it's been for them. Speaking of friends, let me once again commend you to give John Cunningham a call. He and his team have a wide variety of tools to help you use your present budget and life to build towards a more secure and hopeful financial future. Once again, you can reach him at 205-326-7364. And always remember, whatever you choose to do today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, excel still more.